The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel
What this. Else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
It is a historic Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us. And I know what you're thinking. How could this be historic? Is it because the Milwaukee Brewers continue to month after month, as the Brewers completed the month of August on yet another 5-game winning streak? Is it that the Brewers have double the lead of most teams in Major League Baseball and a 4-game larger cushion?
Is it because Craig Counsell has to look up at the Milwaukee Brewers in the division, the team that he left and abandoned?
Dude, stop. Dude, you know what? Do you believe in karma? I hope you don't believe in karma. Because I'm saying it right now. If there's a such thing as karma, the Phillies are going to edge out the Brewers for the 2 seed. The Brewers are going to get the 3. The Cubs are going to end up getting the 6 seed. And the Cubs are going to end up eliminating the Brewers in the wild card round.
Boy, why would you put that into the air?
I'm putting it in the air because you're...
Why would you even come up with that scenario? You have thought about
no,
this, Craig.
No, I didn't until this minute.
You had this planned out.
No.
You said the next time Kyle gives me grief about my beloved Craig Counsell.
No, I don't think about Craig Counsell in that way. I think about the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers have the best run differential in Major League Baseball. Craig Counsell occupies no thoughts in my mind when I think about the Milwaukee Brewers. You got to stop with this stuff. You got to stop with
never.
This stuff. It's over.
Never. I'm never stopping. The way he left us, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's over.
We had our glow up. You know when you get out of a relationship because they think they can go somewhere else to get somebody better, and then all of a sudden, after the relationship, you're upset, you're angry, you're sad, you're emotional, and then you move on and you glow up, and then they looking at you like, dang, I let that go?
I'm friends with all my exes. All my exes that don't live in Texas are cool with me. I have an ex living in my house right now.
There's some exes that say, dang, that Craig Karmazin had a glow. I'll guarantee
not with this oversized shirt that doesn't even fit, but someone got me a shirt that says Wisconsin's a volleyball school, and I'm wearing it today because today is a historic day, not because the Brewers lead the Major League Baseball in run differential ahead of even the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers. It is because this is the first time Sunday Karma will ever be cut short for a Wisconsin Badger volleyball game. That is the history being made today, and it will be at Fiserv Forum, where Wisconsin volleyball for the next 2 days takes center stage, and right here on ESPN Wisconsin, where Wisconsin volleyball takes center stage, as you'll be able to hear every spike, every serve, every dig of 2024 on Good Karma Brands stations. The dream is a reality for us. We have so much deep, deep respect, not only for the Badgers in general, but for this Badger volleyball program. And to have it part of Good Karma is incredible. Every match heard right here on ESPN Madison. And then if you're in Milwaukee, you do get to hear the game today. A number of the games will be on WTMJ, but the Brewers on TMJ today. So Wisconsin, Texas, today, immediately following this show, we're going to jump off at 11 so you can get pregame beginning at 11, leading into Wisconsin, Texas at 11:30 today. And then tomorrow, you would think it couldn't be as big, but it pretty much is as Wisconsin takes on Stanford tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Pretty cool to have, I mean, just elite volleyball from not only the Badgers, but in the state of Wisconsin with the best teams in the world coming to Fiserv Forum.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Oh, you're excited. I invited you. You're like, no, I'm going on the boat. I'm going on the boat. I'm big time. I'm fancy. I'm going on the boat.
I had plans already, but I am a big Wisconsin volleyball fan. But actually, my brother's an even bigger Wisconsin volleyball fan. We really appreciate Wisconsin athletics, and we love winners. And the fact that this program, Kelly Sheffield, has been able to develop this program over literally probably the last, 8 to 10 years. He's really been able to build them up where they're consistent contender for the title. So it was great to have them right here at a station that means so much to me and so much to my family. So very excited. I should have asked my brother if he wanted to go. He would have said yes, Craig. He 100% would have said yes.
Yep.
He's a big fan of Wisconsin volleyball.
But instead, you're just like, nope, going on the boat.
Can I take a rain check?
For the next time they're at Fiserv Forum?
They'll be back next year. Or at Madison. Well, I can go up to Madison.
All right, wait. I don't believe you.
I'll go up to Madison for a volleyball game?
No. I don't believe that you really want to go to the game. Like, I think you're just making an excuse.
No. Had I not had to do the boat thing today, I would have said yes. Wisconsin volleyball is exciting. It's really, really good. Really, really good.
Okay, so you want the tickets for tomorrow then, for you and your brother?
What time is it get? 2:30?
4 o'clock.
Oh, the game's at 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
I'll ask them.
But you weren't saying yes for yourself away.
Because
you're a fake Badger fan.
My mama is cooking out. She's grilling tomorrow. And so I'm
and
just trying.
Labor Day barbecue.
Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
What time was that? Yeah, mess with mama's Mother's Day barbecue.
Because Labor Day. If he says he's going to go, then it doesn't just fall on me for us skipping out on, my mom said, you want me to cook out today? You want me to cook out on Monday? I said, do it on Monday, mama. And now I'm going to tell her I'm going to go to the volleyball game. But I'm about to text my brother. I'm going to ask him, Craig, tomorrow you said 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
All right.
Jesse Nelson from ESPN Madison texts in, number one versus number three in your backyard, reigning national champs, Final Four rematch, and you want a rain check, Kyle Wallace.
I had boat day planned. I'm sorry. If I said no to these people on a boat day, I wouldn't hear the end of it.
Boat days happen. I mean, there's probably not many left.
There's not. This is Wisconsin.
This is Wisconsin. Boat days are getting...
September
By the way,
arrived.
I think I've been on one or two boat days in my 27 years since I've lived in Wisconsin.
You want a boat day, Craig?
No. I'm not like you and your super yachts and your... I don't live in that world.
Don't disrespect me like that.
That's not the world I live in, Kyle. I'm not afternoon drive, Kyle Wallace.
You would get on my boat and you would say, ugh, this is demure. This is not demure.
It is very demure. I was very mindful.
Look at you.
What do you think? I don't
know. Look at you.
Come on, Kyle. I remember 101.7 The Truth, Kyle, who used to love sports and all that. But once you became afternoon drive, Kyle, now you're Mr. Boat. I get it.
Things change.
I get it. You're big time. So much going on. And it... I know I'm like a broken record with these things, but the perspective we have as Wisconsin sports fans is so wild right now. Badger football gets off to a winning start of the season. We have the Packers leading into a season that we know is going to be so special. As you look at Jordan Love going into his second year as a starter, an improved defense. I'm not saying it becomes the top five defense that we hope it would be. And by the way, when they're not playing the Bears, when you include me. I'll admit, Kyle, when I'm a hater. I'm not when it comes to Craig Council.
You told me to call Harper?
Yeah, I almost did. I call everyone Harper.
I'll remind you of your daughter?
Yeah, no, everyone I call that.
Black, long-haired, red-headed daughter.
Yes, exactly. I will admit, I have an affinity to the Bears because we have a partnership with them. But there is nothing in my Craig Council world. That is you who keeps bringing that into the mix. So you have the Brewers with the best run differential in all of Major League Baseball and only two games behind the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. And now you have these Badger seasons kicking off. I mean, and that's before you even get to college basketball. I mean, we are in such a great, great spot. And you know what even makes it better? What makes it better is we'll have Jason Wilde today. We'll only have an hour, but we'll talk Badger volleyball today. We'll get into a little Packers. We'll talk about the start of the football season for your Wisconsin Badgers. We have so much to get to. By the way, what was your and are you off the Badger? I mean, your cousin transferred, right?
He is. He transferred to Michigan State. And boy, let me tell you, he closed that game out. He closed them out. They tried to call him for a targeting. No. Kept him in the game, and he got a sack to finish off the game for Michigan State.
But what is
terrible
that?
Team, though.
What does that mean for you?
It still means I'm a Badger fan.
They play Michigan State, they play Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship, which they can't or they could.
I think it's the top two teams to play, but it won't be happening. But in a hypothetical, weird, crazy world, I would be probably, to be honest. I would probably
For Michigan State.
I would be cheering for my cousin to win a Big Ten championship would be amazing. But it's not going to happen because both teams are trash on offense.
Yeah.
But this is probably one of the first times in my life where I was watching college football and I needed two TVs. I had Wisconsin on my phone and Michigan State on my TV because Michigan State was already on my TV. And when the Wisconsin game kicked off at 8 o'clock, and I feel like it kicked off a little late too because we're in halftime, I was literally watching two games on two different screens because I got to watch both.
I had four going yesterday.
Dang.
I had the U.S. Open going on one TV and on the little boxes on the TV, I was able to have three different college football games going. College football wasn't that good yesterday, but it's still just so good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It wasn't.
Like, there weren't great, like Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech was a great game.
See, I didn't watch that one because like it's not a ranked opponent, but everybody kind of built that up to be an upset and they upset
Lee Corso on College Game Day.
He did.
Everyone's V-Tech, picking Virginia Tech, and he picked it as his dog and then he picked it outright.
Yeah.
And Vandy won, so big props to Lee Corso. And then it was Notre Dame going into Texas A&M. That was the other really good game that ended last night with Notre Dame's offense struggling through most of the game, but them ended up winning. But college football is just so great.
It
even
is.
Are you into the video game? Have you been playing the video game?
I don't have a system.
Okay, so
is PlayStation 2.
So I know
3.
This year a lot of people got extra into it with the video game leading into the season. But it is so good. All right. Well, we got so much to get to, as we said, and we only have 1 hour. Badger volleyball coming up at 11. First serve at 11:30. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
This is Jason Wilde's hype song, by the way. He listens before he writes any big article. This is what he always listens to. Kyle, you knew that, right? That's why you picked this?
And RIP Fat Man Scoop, Timberland. I know Jason loves Timberland.
Oh, yeah. Fat Man Scoop died on stage.
Oh, wow.
Did you hear that?
I heard he had a medical emergency. I didn't know he died on stage.
I think he died. Jason, do you have documentation on Fat Man Scoop?
I do not have an update on his condition, nor do I have an update on Ricky Pearsall, although the NFL has updated that a couple of times. What a world we live in. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, he did pass, Kyle Fatman Scoop, on the day before yesterday. Good morning, Jason. Big day, as it is the first time ever that our show is preempted for Badger volleyball. So it's a pretty big moment. The first time, I believe, for a women's athletic event that Sunday Karma is bumped. So a historic day for Sunday Karma.
And no better show to bump.
Yes, exactly.
So, as someone who obviously spent a good chunk of the early part of his career covering Badgers volleyball and seeing what Kelly Sheffield and that program have now done and taken it to the next level, I love that we're the home of Badgers volleyball on the radio. Kelly is fantastic, and the women on his team are just having gotten firsthand experience around them when Sydney went to their camp this summer. So it's a really, really cool thing that we've got them on our air, and I'm excited for today. Can't wait to try and catch the tail end of the match when Sydney soccer game is over.
And you got bumped from your normal spot at 10:30 because that is where we will hear from the voice of Badger volleyball in your spot. So how about that? coming up. Some maneuvering of the lineup today. So, Jason, talk us through what this Packers roster looks like coming into week one, and any surprises still to come, or versus what you would have guessed at the beginning of camp?
Yeah, I don't think we have necessarily surprises coming up anymore. I think we had our fill, especially when you have five kickers come through your training camp and you don't keep any of them, and now Braden Narveson is your kicker for opening day in Brazil. So I think that was, I don't even know if that qualifies as surprising, but certainly bold that you have all this intel on all these different kickers, and yet none of them is on your 53-man roster.
Wow, Adam Schefter really is an insider. When we went to commercial break, he texted his guy, and he said, "Who's the Packers kicker going to be?" He showed me this phone. He's like, "It's going to be someone who hasn't been in camp yet." That was what he got back.
Yeah, and I don't think that I think there were a lot of people that thought that was going to be the case. I don't know, though, if we thought that they would actually go through with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But especially considering, you know, this is what I think is the most interesting about it, because we talked to Rich Bisaccia the other day. Especially since Rich Bisaccia was so instrumental in the drafting of Anders Carlson, and then listening to him talk to us on Friday, I mean, he basically said we gave him a year and a half to show consistency, and he didn't do it. And so I thought that was really interesting. And then obviously Goody making a comment the day before that I'm probably not as patient as I should be with specialists as he was releasing all the ones that he had in his camp. So we'll see what Braden Narveson does. I'm eager to see. You know, it would be a heck of a story if the game in Brazil on Friday comes down to a 52-yard game-winning field goal for him. And I'm eager to see if he makes it or misses it.
What about is that – I mean, I guess it's significantly more substantial today than the backup quarterback situation, but – I mean, probably pretty surprising also the way that has played out.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that neither Sean Clifford nor Michael Pratt had earned the backup job. You know, Alex Strofe and I talked about this on our weekly show to be named later, because I can't handle weekly, Wilby. We got to come up with something different. But we talked – look, I love the idea – of them developing Malik Willis. I don't know what he will eventually become, but this is a guy who obviously was drafted by one regime. They had a regime change in Tennessee. The guy who drafted him was fired in December of his rookie year. So then a new general manager comes in, and now you've got a whole new, you have a new head coach the next year. Like, it's a whole.
What's the LaFleur connection there in terms of his guys still being there? And is there any, like, is there a thought that he would have had extra intel on him?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, he was drafted in 22. Obviously LaFleur was long gone by then. And Vrabel was the coach in 22, but then got fired. I think it's, or after 23, I should say, he got fired. It'll be interesting to see, though, what Malik Willis becomes, because my issue with this is not getting a distressed asset and a player that you could develop into an Aaron Brooks, Matt Hasselbeck, a Matt Flynn type guy. It's that he's not that guy yet. This will be his fourth offense in 3 years. And I don't think we've seen from him any evidence that if Jordan Love missed four games, he would go in there and play really well. Now, maybe LaFleur can design a game plan that allows him to do that. But the guy that I thought made the most sense, if they were going to go outside, and my inkling was that they were going to go outside what they had, the guy that made the most sense to me was Taylor Heinicke, who ended up being traded by the Falcons to the Chargers for a sixth-round pick. I thought maybe – another guy that they saw, at least during the joint practices, or I should say in the game against Cleveland, was Tyler Huntley. You know, they didn't do a joint practice with the Browns, but the Browns obviously had a surplus of quarterbacks. He becomes available. He ends up going back to Baltimore. I just thought guys that have actually played and helped their teams win games would have made more sense for a team that has championship aspirations. And I'm not sure that right now Malik Willis is that guy.
I could see that as we chat with Jason Wilde. And then if you go beyond those positions, I guess, who were the biggest roster surprises in your mind?
So, again, this isn't a surprise because I had a sneaking suspicion that it didn't really matter all the great things that Christian Welch did during the preseason.
And by the way, Jason, I was stalling to look up. So Taylor Heinicke is 2 years, $14 million. Is that – and that was – he signed in 23, so –
yep.
Yeah, so he's getting paid $7 million. Is that part of, like, is that, would the Packers not pay a backup quarterback $7 million?
You know, the fact that they have the cap space to do something like that, I assume they just don't like Taylor Heinicke that much, right? Like, I think that actually turned out to be, like, a seventh-round pick that the Chargers actually got or gave up for him. Like, it wasn't the trade cost. There clearly was a need.
Because Willis makes like $1 million a year, right? Like, so, right. I mean, and have the Packers ever paid a backup quarterback?
Well, they haven't, but then again, I'm not sure that they've been in this position where they didn't have a clear-cut backup on the, like, they went out and got, and this is...
But I'm saying last year, Jason, I think you and I both thought maybe it was because they didn't want to put more pressure on Jordan Love, like if there was too qualified of a backup behind him.
Right.
It may have, and they did that with Aaron also, right? Their backup was a rookie when Aaron was a rookie.
Yeah.
So maybe we thought, hey, they're going out of their way to be unprepared going into the year. It maybe made sense in some weird way, but they really never paid a backup quarterback.
No, and it also made sense from the perspective of, no matter what they say, they did not have the expectations of having a fourth quarter lead in San Francisco with a trip to the NFC title game on the line. That's why they were fine with a rookie kicker going through growing pains. That's why they were fine with a rookie backup quarterback that if something happened to Love, their expectations weren't through the roof. That's why this is a different scenario and why paying a backup quarterback who has played and won games in the NFL made more sense to me. But that's not what they chose to do. And we will see how it plays out because Goody, you know, the one thing that came out of last year, so many things, right, of that Love is legit and all the other things. But I think the most important thing was Goody, and he said this directly to me when I asked him, is that it confirmed what he had always believed about this being a young man's game. And it was almost as if it was his way of saying, I didn't want to do it the way we did it while Aaron was still here, you know, keeping all these veterans. I wanted to turn over the roster. I wanted to get younger. They're the youngest team in the league for the second straight year now. And I think the mentality is even now with the success that they had and the expectations being higher is that I'm still going to rely on young guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kadeem Telfert, who was on their practice squad last year, undrafted free agent guy who made the roster this year, ends up being their swing tackle and they end up moving on from Andre Dillard, who they don't necessarily need to have on the roster. I'm not saying they will do that, but again, Goody believes in letting young players play, let them go through growing pains, and then the value of them on the other side. All last year did was confirm that that is the way he wants to do this job as the GM of the Packers.
Jason, I know things will change between now and then, but what's your gut? Friday night, I mean, the Eagles were a team that was going Their arrow was pointing as down as any team in the NFL, you know, for the last 4 weeks of the year, and then their embarrassing postseason performance. And the Packers were exactly the opposite. Like, these teams had mirror image seasons for two postseason teams. What's your gut week one in Brazil on Friday?
Yeah, that is incredible, isn't it? Like, and Jalen Hurts was the darling. Like,
he was the MVP, right? He was the MVP. They were 10-1, and the Packers were not a playoff team. And the fact that the Packers won a playoff game, the Eagles didn't, and it wasn't because the Eagles even had a bye, right? It was because they stumbled and got blown out by the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Look, I think the Eagles are – you look at their offense, adding Saquon Barkley, how good A.J. Brown is, how good their wide receiver and tight end group is. They look like a team that's very evenly matched with the Packers, right? And what I think besides this is that the disappointment down the stretch last year for the Eagles wasn't just that their offense became dysfunctional, but it was that their defense wasn't very good either.
Their secondary was terrible.
Right, and they had lost both their coordinators to head coaching jobs, right? And it was almost as if Nick Sirianni, you know, I don't want to say was exposed, but certainly did not have the staff that he wanted. Now they have new coordinators. There's a new expectation there. I think this is going to be, like, if they wanted...
Jason, how about throw in, how about them having a new center with the right. Packers throwing these crazy blitzes and hopefully this aggressive defense that we're going to see, that they're going to have no film on because the Packers took it vanilla and now they have to do it without their, you know, perennial, right. like, quarterback of the offensive line who ran things there, which was Jason Kelce.
Which puts more pressure on your quarterback, and maybe the brotherly shove doesn't work as well as it has to this point either without Jason Kelce in the lineup. So I think this is a toss-up game. I do think that the Packers' defense is going to be, you know, for all these years that they've teased us with our expectations for it, I think this, I feel much more confident that they're going to be the real deal. Now watch them give up 363 rushing yards on Friday. But I think the Packers are going to win this game. And I think they're going to get their season off to a much stronger start. Well, again, they started strong last year too, and then they stumbled after they won that first game.
Yeah, I was going to say, for some reason, it feels to me like either the Packers win by double digits or the Eagles win a close game. Like that's how, like if it's close, I feel like for some reason I favor the Eagles. But I could see the Packers blowing the Eagles out, but I can't picture the Eagles blowing the Packers out as of right now. So so clearly I have no idea what's going to happen in this game either. So there he is, Jason Wilde. Get ready for week one on Friday with Wilde and Tausch from 9 to noon every single day. And follow him at Jason J. Wilde. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, Craig. Take care. Be good.
There he is, Jason Wilde. John Adias. Your voice of Wisconsin volleyball. Next, it's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Hey, it only took us 27 years at Good Karma Brands to be home of the Badgers, and we are with Badger Volleyball, and 25 minutes away from pregame, a little over an hour away, Fiserv Forum, getting it going with number one ranked Texas, number three ranked Wisconsin. John Adias joins us now. He is the voice of Badger Volleyball. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, Badgers coming off a first game loss, which we know is extremely rare, but coming to a neutral site match and showcase that is just going to be so fun this weekend. You know, just talk about how you've seen this program grow and what this fan base and what this team and program has become.
Well, this program in 2013, when Kelly Sheffield and the coaching staff got here, I mean, the growth was instant. They got to the Final Four. They made it to the national championship and lost in, to Penn State for the national championship. So right off the bat, the expectation level for Wisconsin volleyball grew. That's 2013. You know, they've made four out of the last five national semifinals.
But John, I mean, people said to Kelly Sheffield, like right after that, like, that's great that you did that, but Wisconsin can never be one of those perennial powerhouse, right? It's not, this isn't going to be Stanford and Texas and UCLA. Like when they would talk about that, I mean, I think a lot of people thought, you know, could this really be what it could become in a sustained way? And it has.
Yeah, you're right. And it has for over a decade now. But I mean, they're fortunate. Obviously the Big Ten is one of, if not the best conference to be in. So you had that running, you know, going for you if you wanted to be a perennial contender. And the way they've been taking it to that level and maintaining that instant growth right from the start has been so impressive. Like I was saying, four of the last five Final Fours, championship in 21. And yeah, they've proven that they've got the staff, they've got the recruiting, And Wisconsin has become a destination for the top recruits in the country. Just have to look no further than their freshman setter, who is the number two overall recruit in the nation, the number one setting recruit. So, yeah, they've been able to do that, and they've held on to it, and they are a perennial team that can make it deep into the tournament.
John, what was the environment like last year for that Wisconsin Marquette game?
Yeah, here at Fiserv, it was awesome. It was amazing. I think it was 17. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but 17,000 fans. It was exactly what you wanted it to be here at this arena, and I expect something similar to that here today against Texas. So it was fantastic. There were a lot of Marquette fans here in front of us in our broadcast booth, where we go from the NBA broadcast booth, but there were a lot of Wisconsin fans, obviously, too. And it's what this sport has been pushing toward. You know, they played in a basketball arena, Wisconsin did, for the first time during a regular season type of match when they played at the Kohl Center a few years back. And now just look at this season. Start at the KFC Yum Center basketball arena. They got a couple of here at Fiserv. They got another one at the Kohl Center. So this sport just continues to expand, and the fan base is showing up to support them.
And we know Nebraska, right, played at a football stadium, right?
So this 92,000, yeah.
Yes, so this thing is only just getting started in terms of the fan growth and the fan interest. I mean, one of the cool things to me is when I looked at Wisconsin's schedule when it came out, right, that Milwaukee and Marquette both on the schedule, which is great for statewide interest, and people aren't ducking people or worried about losses like that. But then the way this season started, you mentioned it, Louisville, Texas, Stanford. So you're playing, you know, three of the five best teams besides yourselves. It started with a loss at Louisville. How much did you take from that loss?
It was obviously a top 10 matchup. There were some new faces out on the court. There were some familiar faces on the court, but I don't think you got too rattled about it, or should get too rattled about it as a Badger fan, because it's not about September or late August. It's about December. And that's been the mindset and the message from Coach Kelly Sheffield, is they always obviously want to get better and better and better. And he's going to tinker with the lineup. I mean, he's going to wait. He's going to gather and harvest data. And whatever the data says that the lineup should be, that's what it's going to be, even if that data starts to morph into something in November and December. So I wouldn't get too rattled about it, because they're starting off with a bang with this competition on the schedule, and it's going to be tough. And I think it's actually, for some of the newcomers, you know, there are 8 newcomers on this roster. For some of the newcomers, this is a great welcome to college volleyball, because this is what it's going to be like in December moment.
John Arias, the pregame coming up in 20 minutes. Game at 11:30 at Fiserv Forum today. Badgers versus number one ranked Texas. Badgers coming off a loss to Louisville. So a few things. One, give me how much you think home court matters and how that impacts things today. And then second, you mentioned kind of it's early and we shouldn't read too much into this. I know they're trying to be more like Texas, is my understanding, with getting a little more aggressive serving, and that didn't work too well in Louisville, especially in that second game where there were all the service errors. So home court difference, and then today, you know, are they trying to be more like Texas, who's last year's national champion?
Yeah, I think the home court advantage will be really big, because there's going to be a lot of red in the stands here to support Wisconsin, even more so than they find at the Fieldhouse. Bigger moment, number one team that you're facing. So I think, you know, the fan support should impact the match a lot, actually. As far as the serving, the tricky thing about serving in college volleyball, right, is if you're not aggressive, then the other team is going to run its offense to perfection and you're going to get slaughtered. If you are aggressive, service errors are going to occur. Obviously, 17, way too much, especially considering the impact of aces to errors and, you know, that type of thing. But they have to be aggressive, especially against Texas, an offensive team that can, you know, jam it down your throats. And then on the flip side,
and by the way, just since everyone's not as into volleyball, right? So when you're talking about offense, offense, that's actually what you're doing when the other team's serving, right? So, like, as opposed to every other sport, like, when you have the ball, that's considered offense. So offense is actually considered when the other team's serving.
Yeah, so something to watch. So when Texas is serving at Wisconsin, and Texas served the Badgers out of the gym in the Final Four last year, they were elite. Maddie Skinner had 6 aces, a career high. But when Wisconsin's on serve receive, it's what it's called, that's how you set up your offense. And the best way is to have a perfect pass. So the setter goes to the middle of the net, and if the setter really isn't running around a lot, you're going to be okay. You're going to have a lot of options on offense, and you should be – that's what you want. Now, something to watch for fans. When Texas is serving, and if these passes by the Wisconsin passers are going left, right, or Charlie's on the run all over the court, that's bad because now you have limited options on offense.
Wait. Charlie's on the run. Who's Charlie now?
Charlie's the setter, Charlie Furbringer.
Okay.
The freshman setter, sorry. Yeah, so if Charlie's on the run trying to track down these passes to set it to their hitters, that's bad for Wisconsin. But, yeah, so it all starts with that. So that's why Wisconsin, when they're serving at Texas, if they have to be aggressive. They want Texas's setter on the run, and if that's not happening, then Texas is able to run its offense off Wisconsin's serve to perfection.
So basically what we're watching today is the passers who are receiving the serve are trying to get it to Charlie, who's the setter, without having Charlie on the move too much. So then Charlie has the choices ultimately to be able to get it to whoever's going to spike it, which you want to have, what, like a 20? If you're over 20%, is that good? If you're putting away over 20%, or what percentage of your kills do you want to have here?
Yeah, by the way, yes, you nailed it with exactly. Charlie wants to be in the pocket, right near that middle of the net, not moving around too much throughout the 10-foot line. Hitting percentages, you know, if you're an outside hitter like Sarah Franklin, if you're hitting 300, you're elite. If you're hitting 250 or so, you're really, really good. For middle blockers, that changes a little bit. Middle blockers, I mean, you know, Carter Booth hit over 400 last season. Anna Smrek on the right side hit about 400. So it differs with different positions. But that 300-400, if the Badgers are in that category, they are doing exactly
what they
want to do.
But you can't do that against Texas, right? Can you do that against elite teams?
No.
Okay.
It rarely happens that you get one like that in elite teams. Usually what happens, and I think it happened obviously in the first match against Louisville, you'll have team hitting percentages below at or around 200.
Yeah.
And then you're in a slugfest.
Yep. And that's what I would imagine the Badgers would hope for in these next two games as they're trying out some new things. And this is going to be so fun. And John, welcome to the team, and we appreciate you joining us this morning, and enjoy these next 2 days at Fiserv Forum.
Well, thanks for having me on, and I will. Thank you.
Yep, there he is. John Padillas, he is the voice of Badger Volleyball. Kyle, you now know what you're listening for as you listen to the game?
I just like to watch it.
What do you mean listening? You mean you listen?
Listen
to
when
it.
I like to listen to
okay,
it as
okay,
well.
Yeah,
listen
okay,
and watch.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
I want to make sure.
Man, when I'm in a car, I listen.
Okay.
It's new.
When you're on the boat? You're on the boat today,
when
you
I'm
guys
on the boat
will be
today.
Rocking the
when,
Badger volleyball
when
game.
When I'm on the boat today, I will have the Badger volleyball game on. And with a spike.
There you go. Big game. Badgers losing to Louisville in their first game today. They get it going against number one Texas. And then tomorrow, it'll be Stanford. So Badgers ranked 3 coming into the season. A really, really cool event at Fiserv Forum. We will get back into everything else. As we said, we promised you Brewers and Badger football, and we haven't gotten you that yet. We got you some Packers. We got you some Badger volleyballs. Sunday Karma continues. ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, it is our favorite time of the show when we get to make our picks. Which, Kyle, I got to hear your pick on the Packers-Eagles game coming up, because I know you're Mr. Homer, but I'd love to hear your take on this game. But we always do mention that we love Palermo's Pizza. They're Wisconsin's hometown pizza. This is a great company, the Feluca family, that we are so fortunate to have in Wisconsin. When you have this many jobs created, when you have this much community supported, it's no wonder that everyone wants to support Wisconsin's hometown pizza. So whether it's Connie's, whether it is your Surfer Boy, whether it's Screamin' Sicilian, whether it's Urban Pie, if you're eating pizza, there is an option from our good friends at Palermo's Pizza. So, Kyle, let's start with your take on this game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see exactly what the Green Bay Packers are going to look like. We didn't get to see much from this offense. Three plays from the starting offense, and on top of that, that defense, as you talked about with Jason Wilde, very vanilla. But Jeff Hafley said, it's time to let it rip. And the last time we heard one of our coaches say it's time to let it rip, Jordan Love went on to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL to end last season. So if let it rip is a sign that the Green Bay Packers are about to turn up, well, boy, I'm excited to see how they harass Jalen Hurts on Friday in Sao Paulo.
Yeah, but that also means if you're letting things rip, that means you're probably leaving A.J. Brown one-on-one. That means you're putting some people out on some islands.
I mean, that's what they have to be. They have to be aggressive. You're hoping to make sure Jalen Hurts has to make quick decisions. And with the way Jair can play aggressively, hopefully Jair can jam him a little bit and be right there in his chops and make things work. And we'll see how well, on the other side, Eric Stokes plays with a Devontae Smith. That's who I'm interested to see, Eric Stokes bounce back.
And if that sets up opportunities for Saquon in the passing game, right, like based on how aggressive they are, or if you take Saquon out of it because he has to help stay in and block.
Stay in
and
right? block. Or, yep. you know, you get to see the guys cover like Eric Wilson, Isaiah McDuffie, Quay Walker. It is a brand new defensive scheme that we're going to see for the Green Bay Packers with, you know, a new Xavier McKinney in the back. So I'm excited to actually see what this team is made of. And, you know, they have a foundation. All right, week one, we allow X amount of points, or we had some issues stopping the run, or we couldn't stop the pass. And I'm excited to see the adjustments that we need to make. But I cannot wait till Friday night.
Brewers today, Tobias Myers goes to the Hill. 5-game winning streak once again. I've mentioned a few times on the show. Top run differential in all of Major League Baseball. Largest lead over second place in all of Major League Baseball. Kyle, September is starting. Can we please not let the Brewers like disappear in September?
Oh, no, this is where they turn up.
It's where they do. But if you look at like attendance over the last year, like you see Brewers average in the high 20,000s of attendance in September. Once high school football and college football and NFL, there's all this stuff. Can we just try to support this team in the month of September?
Yeah, let's try. Let's really try. It's hard. You know, you spend a whole summer being one of the greatest fan bases in the country for the Milwaukee Brewers because, you know, during the summertime, we do a great time. Great job showing
up. That's why I worry. Is it a great tailgating fan base or a great fan base? Because September comes and the attendance goes down during these pennant races.
Well, once the playoffs come, American Family Field.
Oh, cool. Well, once the playoff comes, every team.
It's going to be rock. I promise that. I can't.
You're not willing to commit to September. You're only willing to commit to October.
I am not one to lie, Craig, and I cannot commit that our loyal Brewers fan base will be able to adjust their school schedules for Milwaukee Brewers games on a Tuesday night. But you know what? They're going to be listening on 620 WTMJ.
All right. How about The Union on Netflix? You got a review for us? The new Halle Berry movie?
What is that? Never heard of it.
Oh, new Halle Berry movie? No love?
Halle Berry. No, I have not heard of that. What is that about?
It's top five right now on Netflix. It's great. It's about a Jersey guy just like me.
A Jersey guy. And what did he do? Is he like dating Gabrielle Union? Is he dating Halle Berry? Did he cheat on her? What's going on? Or did he find love with her?
He is Mark Wahlberg, and they had dated.
Oh, wow.
And they had dated in high school.
Oh.
And
they rekindled some things.
And she brings him back to help at her job working for the Union. That's all I'm saying.
Working for the union, like the hardworking unions across America and Wisconsin?
You'll find out if you watch it. Kyle, you could see where he's whose vote he's looking for in this election.
Oh, do you?
Kyle's trying to carry the union vote in 2024.
My parents are proud union members.
There you go. So check out The Union on Netflix. And anything else we need to add besides you being a little disappointed by the offense in Badger football Friday night?
A little disappointed by the offense. I am actually very, very concerned.
We weren't as hyped about the offense as we were last year. I mean, last year was a bigger disappointment coming into the year for the offense than this year,
Craig,
right?
I was expecting the offense to look better than what it did last year. You know what I'm saying? Like year two, I'm expecting Phil Longo's offense to be a little bit more explosive. They got bailed out by a bounce on a ball bouncing off somebody, or the Badgers would have been in trouble. Down a score?
Yeah.
Or was it? No, they were down a point. Down a point in the fourth quarter, and then the other team has the ball. Anything can happen at that point. I am concerned about the offense. The defense looked good, though. But offense, oof.
Texas, Wisconsin, clash of three of the top two of the top three volleyball teams in the country coming up next. And by the way, Brewers action coming your way on WTMJ. That game starts in like 10 minutes. Early start for the Brewers. So they're getting it going like 10 minutes on WTMJ. And we are getting it going right now with Badger Volleyball. If you haven't gotten on board with this team, today is a great opportunity to start jumping on board. Big thanks to John Adias, the voice of Badger Volleyball, for joining us, and Jason Wilde and Kyle Wallace. Stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. You've been listening to Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Don't settle. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.
WTMJ.